I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so the Jets just signed Mike Williams, a veteran wide receiver. Let's have some numbers on him. Now, he tore his ACL in week 3 last season.
So that limited him, Michael, to only 249 yards and a touchdown last year.
But since 2018, he leads the NFL with 15.8 yards per catch, with a minimum of 200 catches. So he's a big play guy.
He has 2,000-yard seasons in there.
In 2022, he ranked 25th out of 130 wide receivers in ESPN's open metric, and also 2.3 yards per route, which was tied for 25th. I think the key with him is he's healthy. So his contract can max out at 15 if he's obviously on the field a lot. So it's $15 million if he maxes out. Is Rich there yet? All right, so let's bring in... I don't have to deal with hyperbole here. Guy's a legend.
Yes.
He's been with the Jets longer than Joe Namath was with
That's
the Jets.
That's right.
Any Jet player, he's beat them out in terms of longevity. So he knows what's going on. Rich, how you doing?
Hey, Mike, how you guys doing? Yeah, I remember covering Namath's first mini camp.
Right. He was just a youngster then. All right, so do you like this signing?
Well, you just hit the nail on the head. It depends on the health. Obviously, the Jets feel comfortable with this, and I'm sure they've given him a physical. He was at their facility today, so their medical people had firsthand ability to check him out. And you read the stats, right from my tweet 2 years ago. He was a really good receiver 2 years ago, and he was off to a good start last year when he had the ACL. So I think this is a good move for the Jets. I want to see the final numbers on the contract. My guess is it's probably somewhere in the $7 to $9 million range, and then a whole bunch of incentives after that, very similar to what they did with Tyron Smith. So the Jets needed a number two. It was a glaring hole. This is a very expensive mulligan, basically, because they blew it last year with Alan Lazard, and they had to go back into free agency to replace that mistake, and they come out with Mike Williams.
And you brought up Smith. I kind of put him in the same category, right? On the surface, and you look at the back of their football card, you nailed it. But you're also able to get him at a cheaper price because both are coming off of injuries. What is it, 13 games played last year for Smith. I think, a grand total of, seven in the previous three seasons. So is this just the idea of getting quality players but getting them a bargain because there is a certain amount of risk health-wise?
Exactly. I mean, it looks like they're assembling like a 2019 All-Pro team here or something like that with some of these guys. And I mean, Morgan Moses, another really good player who's older. That's why they were able to get him at a cut rate price. So the Jets are in win now mode. That's not a breaking news story. We know that. They got a 40-year-old quarterback. They're pushing everything to the center of the table. They're going for it this year. Tyron Smith is a Hall of Fame player. I mean, there's no doubt about that, but how much does he have left in the tank? Wasn't practicing a whole lot last year. The Cowboys pretty much rested him during the week and just played on Sunday. And with Mike Williams, if he can get back to what he was at the start of last season, the Jets are going to have a really nice complement to Garrett Wilson, because Mike Williams is 6'4". He's got a high percentage of winning contested balls, those 50-50 balls, maybe helps in the red zone. The Jets were terrible in the red zone last year, but I mean, let's be honest, they were terrible pretty much everywhere on offense, but especially in the red zone. And so I think he'll help there.
All right, so what do they have to do next? What's left to do, obviously, before the draft? Do they have to fill in any other spots through either trade or free agency?
No, Michael, I think they hit on all the main areas. You knew they needed three linemen coming in. They checked all those boxes. They needed a number two receiver. They just checked that box. They got the backup quarterback that they wanted in Tyrod Taylor. We know how important that position is, considering what happened last year. So they've hit all their immediate needs, and now What this does is it gives Joe Douglas the flexibility to go in the draft at number 10 and basically just take the best player. And whether it's a left tackle or a right tackle, I still think they can draft a tackle, by the way. I don't think that's out of the question. Whether it's the tight end from Georgia, Brock Bowers, that's a possibility. They could still draft a right wide receiver. If one of those three wide receivers falls to them, they could take a receiver. So they're in a really good position at 10 now. They don't have to reach for a need.
All right, so what do they do with Zach Wilson?
Zach
more importantly,
gone.
What can they get for Zach Wilson?
Well, we saw what Justin Fields just went for, Don. I mean, what was it, a sixth-rounder next year that could go for up to a four? There's just not a lot of positions open around the league. The chairs are filling up. All the backup positions are pretty much gone. So he would have to be a number three quarterback. And it's the salary that is just frightening. It's $5.5 million guaranteed. No team in their right mind is going to pick that up. So the Jets are going to have to either eat some of that salary or send him away with a draft pick, attach like an old NBA-style trade. They're going to have to attach a draft pick to him to get someone to pick up that salary. And so if they can get a 2025 seventh-rounder,
right,
that maybe can go up, that would probably be the best they could do.
Because if they just cut him, the dead money's over $11 million, right?
Yeah, they don't save anything with the dead money if they cut him. It's basically it stays what it is right now. So, and that's a possibility. They could just throw up their hands at some point and say, "All right, we're just going to have to cut him. We can't trade him." So that is definitely on the table as well.
Is there? I mean, you answered quickly, so I think I know the answer to this. But is there any way possible, since they can't? I mean, if you give a sixth round pick for Justin Fields, who's much better than Zach Wilson. I don't even know if they get a seventh for Zach Wilson. So if they can't get anything, and the only option is to cut him, would it be the worst thing in the world to keep him as a third string?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I think they promised Zach at the end of last season that they would do everything they can to get him into a change of scenery. And he just sold his home is on the market in New Jersey. I mean, so I think the New York Post had a story a couple of days ago. His condo's on the market. I think Zach's already checked out in New York. Quite honestly, I think he checked out for the last three games of the year. When he got the concussion, there was no way he was coming back on the field. We know he didn't want to come back after the first benching, and he went out and actually played the best game he's ever played against Houston, and then he got hurt, and that was it. So I think it would not be doing the player
right
a solid by making him come back into a situation where that would just be very difficult.
And the thing, Rich, when you look at the last 3 years, it just seems like no matter where you put him, he finds his way back on the field again. Like, I just don't think you want to even have to deal with that anymore.
I mean, could you imagine? I mean, because the Jets play at least three quarterbacks every year, so you got to look at the law of averages. Oh. You know, especially you got a 40-year-old starter and a 35-year-old backup, you know, neither of whom have been too durable lately. So, that would be quite a risk for the Jets, and no one wants to see that happen.
Rich Samini, who covers the Jets for us at ESPN, is our guest. Before we let you go, Rich, the way it's turned out during this offseason, and they have the 10th pick, do you think the Jets are a playoff team right now?
No, I'm going to say no right now. I think they're. It all hinges on one thing, and you know what I'm going to say. It's number 8.
Right.
You know, if you can tell me that Aaron Rodgers is going to play at least 14 games, then I would say, yeah, the Jets have a really good chance to get in the playoffs. Because their offensive line is better now. There's no question about that. But it all hinges on number 8. You know, that if he goes down early again in the season, I don't care who your backup quarterback is, it's going to be really, really tough to get into the playoffs.
Rich, did the Jets have any warning whatsoever about this vice presidential stuff?
I honestly don't know that. I do know that they were bemused by it. I don't think there was anyone in the building who thought for a second that Aaron Rodgers was going to leave to do some campaigning during training camp. I think they more or less took it with a grain of salt, and they were not surprised when it actually came out that he's not going to be the choice. So I do not believe for a second that Joe Douglas was rearranging his draft board to all of a sudden include quarterbacks, you know, that they could pick. No, I think they took it with a grain of salt and never thought for a second that he was going to honestly be the VP.
Would they have preferred, though, Rich, again, I'm asking you because you're around so much, so maybe you'll know this, but Would they have preferred for him to just shut it down, like when he had the statement about the CNN report, and to say, listen, all these stories about me being vice president, I'm committed to the Jets? Would they have preferred that? It's put the fire out a bit.
Yeah, I mean, in there, he did it with the CNN report, but he didn't do it with the VP report, so it let it you know, ferment for a while, you know. And I personally think it was just a publicity stunt by RFK's campaign, just to get a lot of pub out of it with a big name attached to it, and they got a lot of mileage out of it for a few days. And I don't know. The Jets aren't doing anything. Like, the players aren't there right now. So did it cause a distraction for the Jets? I mean, I guess the perception is that it created a distraction, but no players are in the building now. Very few. There's no organized team activities until the middle of April. So I don't know if the Jets were bothered by Rodgers not putting it out immediately, just chalking it up to some off-season stuff. Had it happened during training camp or something, you know, when they're there, then sure, then it's a distraction, you have to put it out. But right now it's just kind of that dead period for players.
But Rich, let's be honest, he could do anything he wants and they'll never scold him, ever. He owns the team.
Yeah, and there's that too, you know. So yeah, I mean, if he pretty much decides what he wants to do when he wants to do it. So yeah, you pretty much nailed that one, Mike.
I mean, really, if he came to Florham Park and set the facility on fire, they'd find a way to forgive him.
Well, I mean, look, he's Aaron Rodgers. He pretty much, you know, look, he is responsible for the current regime still being there. You know, he gave his blessing before Woody Johnson came out last year and gave those guys a vote of confidence. So there's no doubt in anyone's mind that he's the reason that Saleh, Hackett, and the whole, you know, Douglas are still there. So, yeah, he wields a lot of power. That's not exactly a revelation. I think most listeners know that. But, yeah, I mean, if he walked into the draft room on draft day and said, I want so-and-so, that would be interesting. But he will. In fact, he just said in a recent interview on a podcast that he does consult with Joe Douglas on a fairly regular basis, and they solicit his input on a lot of personnel decisions.
Interesting. Thank you so much, Rich.
Real quick, Rich. Kate Middleton, Meghan Markle. Just choose one.
Well, in terms of what? What are you getting at?
If you wanted, he wants. Which one would you
paint
date?
Your house? Yeah. I wasn't going to get into specifics, Rich. Just preference.
You know, I'm just busting your chops. And look, I watched the entire series of Suits, and I would vote for Meghan Markle.
Oh, come on!
It's easy. Honestly,
I'm shocked at you, Rich.
Rich, it's easy, and you did the right thing. Thanks, Rich.
Shocked at you, Rich. Really.
All right.
A little disappointed, too. Thanks, right. My friend.
Yeah. I'm sure he appreciates being made uncomfortable. He's been a friend of the show for so long.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, he gives an answer, right? And he didn't hesitate. He was prepared. And then Michael berates him for it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I berated him. I mean, that's a little dramatic.
Disappointed
so?
In him?
I mean, Kate Middleton's a beauty. Meghan Markle, probably is a little more... sexier, maybe.
But
Kate Middleton is an absolute classic beauty.
I didn't say that either one was bad.
No, Don, did he kill me for taking Middleton?
I thought it's a bad taste. I thought it's a bad take.
Yeah, you called it a bad take.
But that doesn't mean I think that anyone is bad here. I'm just saying I thought it was a bad take by you.
I think that if it came down to the two brothers said we could switch wives, all right, Prince William would say, I'll stay with Kate. Thanks. Now, obviously, Harry would stay with Meghan because he gave away his royalness for Meghan Markle. Gave it away.
Well, because...
I mean, obviously, anyone's going to stay with their wife, I would think. I mean,
No. But this wouldn't be public. We could switch. I think that Willie would say, you know what? I'm good with Kate.
But...
Don, do you feel me at all?
The only thing I feel is
awkward. Yeah.
Well, because just the idea.
It's too specific.
You know, I'm sure a lot more is going to go into their decision making than just
This is how he ruins Winter Wednesday, too. He overthinks the damn thing.
No, what I'm trying to do is just try to save some semblance of the show.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate what you're doing.
Well, I didn't come up with the question. I answer questions. He said Markle or Middleton. I said, give me Middleton.
That's it.
That's all.
You don't need to start getting so specific,
to me, Middleton.
Pal. See, can't help himself, Don.
He really can't.
Middleton, can't help
to me,
himself.
Is much more of a classic beauty like Jody.
Oh, so well then. But why don't you just go? Well, Kate looks more like my wife.
Because I don't think she looks like Jody.
Well, but
she gives off that aura.
She's giving Jody to you.
She's giving something classic beauty.
She's giving something classic beauty.
You know what? But I'm not sitting here. Who am I? Look at me with this.
You're not a classic
dark
beauty.
Cusick. I'm an ugly person. Yes. So I'm not like I would have a choice.
It's a great point.
Although
by you.
Prince William's no oil painting either.
Harry's a good looking guy.
He's okay. Don doesn't like gingers, so.
I got. Well, that's. Hold on one second. Hold on.
Don, you've told me you don't like gingers.
I don't know if that's for public consumption.
I don't know if I've ever said that.
Don,
you want
a second here, Don?
Why would I ever say that? My sister-in-law is a ginger.
That's
you
right.
You don't like her, you've told me off the air,
too. Oh, you know what? This is, again, this is a friend to you.
No, this not. He's not really. I mean, honestly, this is. Let's lift up the skirt here. Clearly. We're no friends. Lately, really, the awkwardness he's put
all
guys like
in.
Rich Simini, who we've known for 20 plus years.
Yeah,
you know, I've got to see some of the people he's talking about right now.
Not to mention
how people are. It's because nobody reads anymore, so it's everything that they hear they believe.
Not to mention, you remember when he asked a few weeks ago about the in-law question? Would you do this with your sister-in-law?
Yeah.
I mean, I've got great stuff for Would You Wednesday tomorrow. Uncomfortable.
You know what? I'm starting to line up with Phil Mushnick on Would You Wednesday.
Really?
Yeah, we were simpatico.
Yeah, you know what? Say the word and I will end the segment. That's all. If you don't like it, I'll end the segment. I'll end it.
But
I don't need that. You know how much work goes into that?
about 5 minutes.
Work. No. I agonize
Days.
Over each question.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I didn't know that.
But it's amazing to me that when like certain things come up, Peter,
mm-hmm.
you know, like when we bring up Santa Claus. Hey.
I know.
Meanwhile, it's okay that he can completely tear apart the relationship that I have with my sister-in-law.
I know.
And that things get talked because right now, everyone listening, everyone believes for a fact that I've said to Michael at one time or another that I don't like gingers.
I know.
Like so he lied about that.
Right.
Now I've got to defend the law. It's ridiculous. It's awkward. These are people that are in my life, Michael.
Well, not anymore. Ray Santiago, the great Ray Santiago, just tweeted out, definitely Megan.
It may be generational.
Joe G on Twitter goes, Kate Middleton 1 million times over Meghan.
Listen, I don't want to keep digging into it because it's uncomfortable, but I feel incredibly strong about
it. It's uncomfortable, and you asked a question, savage.
I'm just going to sit where I'm at with it. And
good. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island.
There you go.
Ira, what do you think of this signing?
I think the signing is really good, and I can't add much more than what Rich just laid out. It's amazing what they've done, considering the circumstances, like I told you, after they got Smith and Moses. But it's all on one-year deals. They're all coming off of injuries. They're all in a win-now mode. I'd love to see them nab Clowney if that's still in the mix. But at the end of the day, they got to prove it on the field. I mean, I've seen this act with this organization for years. I'm excited about it. I love it. But I don't want to get burnt like I've been burnt for many, many years. Let me see them win games. They have the material now. There's no more excuses. They've added all the pieces. They have the draft. They could trade down. They could pick the best player. They position themselves to win now. Now it's time to get the W's in the column.
And you'd have to agree with Rich, Ira. It all depends. Rodgers has to stay healthy.
Right, which is that's a big if.
Yep.
You know, it's a big if. A 41-year-old guy off an Achilles. But to Rich's point, if you could get 14 games out of him, and if Taylor has to fill in for two or three, I think the playoffs are probably doable, but I'm not going there yet. Let me see them start the season, get through the first 2 months, and see where they're at. But right now, I think the arrow is pointing up, and hopefully it turns out well.
Yeah, I like, thank you, Ira. I like the work that Joe Douglas has done. You know, he didn't get into the heavy spending right away, and people say, well, what's Joe Douglas doing? Is his phone working? Well, he has systematically gotten good deals, one-year deals, and they're all there on one-year deals anyway, Don. Joe Douglas is on a one-year deal.
Yeah.
Robert Saleh's on a one-year deal. Hackett's on a one-year deal. They don't have to sign long-term because they're all gone if it doesn't work out.
Right, exactly. You can speculate all you want. Well, maybe Rodgers will give another kick at the can in 2025, but nobody can really take that do anything about it. You'll be talking about a quarterback that will turn 42 that December in 2025, and you're right. Every decision-maker might be gone. So there is no tomorrow. It's today. That's it.
I love that. It's the title of my 15th book, There Is No Tomorrow.
Really?
It's today.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's very, very good. Let's go to Mike in Mayapak. Mikey.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm sorry. Hold on.
How you doing?
Door speaker.
Hey there.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, it's Mayor from APEC. So I got a sports question and then also a bone to pick with Peter about his Amazon comment. Which one you guys want first?
Well, let's go jump on Peter. I like that.
Yes, me too. And also, Peter Rosenhack. So I live with my boyfriend and his sister, and your Amazon thing where you're like, well, I live with a woman, seems a little sexist to me because we order more Amazon than her.
You mean,
I think he admitted that when he said it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a... You're saying you and your boyfriend order more Amazon than your sister?
Yeah, but you were telling them, you're like, listen, with your friggin' huge bag with coffee, you were like, listen, it's not up to me. It's like, do you guys know that I live with a woman? And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Well, getting pretty triggered over here.
Well, you're missing the point.
You know what, Mike? I felt the same way.
I got to tell you, Mike, you sound a bit triggered.
Mike, I felt the exact same way.
It was,
and you know what? I tried to get him out of it right away. No, I said, not only women order Amazon.
Was it meant to be a little poke at women? Yes, it was.
And it was hurtful, frankly. And so, Mike's hurt, and I'm hurt.
I mean, between Anina Marks, the other couple of days,
I love that, Mike.
How about the word? Let me. You're right. Let me update it from women to spouses. Spouses just seem to be shopping on Amazon. Is that fair?
Oh, that makes me feel so much better.
There you go. Now you can sleep tonight. You're right. Fair enough. Now is it you or your boyfriend that does most of the big spending on Amazon?
Honestly, maybe him, probably.
See, it's always the other one. It's whoever I'm not talking
to.
They're the ones doing
statements. I don't check the bank.
All I know is every day I get home, I'll get excited that my building will be like, oh, there's a package here. And then I look at the description.
And none of it's for you.
No, it just says Amazon. I'm like, great. What is this? And by the way, my wife is worth. My wife will single-handedly destroy the environment because she loves to buy things and return them too. It's a constant free-for-all of back and forth from Amazon.
Mike, can
it never ends.
Can I help you with one thing, Mike? Just, you know, I feel close with you, okay? Don't ever say I don't check the bank statement. You'll end up broke. That's what's going to happen to Don.
I don't either.
Always be involved, my friend.
I'm not either.
Check the bank statement. Don't let anybody spend your money.
Yeah, just do you.
Hey, listen, Don seems like he's doing all right. So if he can get
that's right.
Yeah, but if Nancy ever has a change of heart, he's in a fetal position in the corner.
But that either way, that money or not, that's because he loves his wife.
I get
that's,
it.
No, you do you? That's the question. Do you?
No, but he could love his wife, and if she didn't take all the money, he could rebound. But if she has all the money and he doesn't know where it is, not only is he brokenhearted, he's broken.
Mike, how long you been with your partner?
3 years.
Yeah, and my guess is
could be robbing your
if partner. He rolls out tomorrow, you'd probably be more concerned with the lack of a partner than you would be the money.
No, the money hurts. He'll get over the part.
Oh, there are apps to get over the person, you know.
You know what?
What a great line.
Thanks, Mike. You're more like Michael than I thought. You guys are both.
Yeah. What was your sports question, Mike?
Oh, who's more in the hot seat? Dable or Boone, you think?
It's a good question. I would say Boone. I think if Boone doesn't make the playoffs, he's in some trouble. Dable could not make the playoffs and still hang around, especially if they draft a quarterback. So I'd say Aaron.
Because I think Shane and Dable are kind of tied at the hip, so you'd be blowing everything up. And
oh, my gosh. Shane and Dable. That's something. Am I right, Michael?
I love it.
But would it be right to do when they're still trying to get out from under Gettleman's mistakes? You might be making a change at quarterback, which I think would buy them a couple of more years if they draft a quarterback. So I think Boone would be more on the hot seat.
And also, I know he calls you Peter Rosenhack. Mike from AFAC, that's one of the best calls in the last 5 years. he listens to the show constantly, knows all the inside jokes. Please, you can call back whenever you like.
He was very good. I wish he didn't call me Rosenhack, but besides
that. But I think that made the call. Mike Hill tweets, looks-wise, I'd go with Megan Ono.
Is Megan Ono again?
Meghan Markle. Oh, no, she broke up the Beatles. She broke up the royal family.
Meghan, but she didn't break up the royal family.
Yes, she did.
What do you mean?
She did. He left England.
Yeah. It's not the whole royal family.
Well, I know, but nobody does that.
It's the two of them.
Well, I mean, Paul McCartney went on to be just as big a star. Ringo did.
Yeah, but the whole thing broke up after that. The royal family continued on.
It is really, it's hurting right now. It's busting at the seams. There's a lot of problems there. Don, how about Mazda? No problems there, right?
No, get more in a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. More selection, over 750 new vehicles available, and more savings on their entire Mazda lineup. Lease the all-new 2024 Mazda CX-90 Turbo Select, all-wheel drive for $379 a month at Ramsey Mazda. Route 17 North in Ramsey. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Call 888-885-2891 for lease details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN R1148073. MSRP $39,220 ends 4/1/24.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
So a lot of Yankee fans are a little upset that Blake Snell signed a two-year deal, which is essentially one-year deal.
And I meant to ask you.
Uh-huh.
2 years, $62 million, right?
Right. With the San Francisco Giants.
So how did that end up landing, money-wise? How did the negotiation end up working in the end, this weird, long... endless.
Well, I guess I want to get another kick at the can. So it's a 1 year deal essentially. If he does well, then he goes back into the market again. But you know, people have asked me what happened. Did Boris overplay his hand? You know, from people that told me he didn't have any offers. I think there was an offer from the Yankees, but I don't know the exact amount of money. But in terms of like. People came to him and he said he wanted this. I don't think a lot of teams made offers. And I think that maybe they were scared off by what they perceived to be Scott's history and that he would want a lot of money. Maybe there were numbers that were floated out there. But for the Yankees, it didn't make sense. As much as they need another pitcher, especially with Gerrit Cole being out for up to 2 months, maybe even longer, you're not going to pay $1.10 on a dollar. You're just not. It doesn't make fiscal sense. And you can say, oh, so what? Well, no, you say so what. It's not your money. It's Hal Steinbrenner and the other investors at the Yankees. It's their money. So it's $62 million for the team. Because if he breaks down this year and gets hurt, then he's not going to opt out. So $62 million for the Yankees, if they sign that contract, would be over $125 million of cost. They weren't going to do it. So if the Yankees did, in fact, make an offer of 6 years, $150, which is out there, I have never been able to confirm with the Yankees. I have not been able to confirm with Boris. If they did, that's on him. That's on Blake Snell for turning it down. And a lot of people are saying, well, what's the big deal if it's only for 2 years? And I think that the Giants have it arranged where it'd be $17 million of pay, $14 million bonuses later. So it wouldn't be, you know, $60 million this year. It would be about $34 million. You're still going to pay taxes on the other end as well because it's not like the clock stops. They're going to be paying high salaries down the line as well. This is a guy who had a draft pick attached to him. You want to give up your end of the first round draft pick for a guy to pitch 1 year on your team? I think the Yankees were willing to do that for a 6-year commitment from Blake Snell, but for what could be a 1-year commitment, does that make any sense? The Giants think it makes sense, and they think it makes sense with Matt Chapman, too. We'll see if it works out. The Giants did a lot of heavy lifting, and they had to. They're in the same division as the Dodgers. Dodgers spent over $1 billion. Giants are next. So you take a look at everything that has gone on. When Steve Cohen says there are only three teams that he thinks are better than the Mets, and the Mets are competitive with everybody else, he's wrong. The Mets are not as good as the Braves. They're not as good as the Phillies. They are not as good as the Dodgers. They are not as good as the Giants. They are not as good as the Padres. And they are not as good as the Diamondbacks. That's six right there. I don't think they're better than the Cubs. That's seven. And Don, I don't know if you saw this. They put out a lineup. Anthony DeComo put out a lineup that the Mets had and said, this is probably the opening day lineup, right?
Right.
You know who's batting fourth?
Who would be batting fourth? Alonso would bat third.
Yeah,
right?
He bats third.
So is it Fientos?
No. It's Jeff McNeil.
Yeah.
And then the bottom third of the order is Beatty, Vientos, and Harrison Bader. I'm sorry, that's not a great offense. And their pitching staff is a huge question mark at starting pitching. Their bullpen's okay because you have Edwin Diaz, but it's not deep the way he said. I think the Mets could be in for a very, very tough season.
Or, you know, they could be. And then what the hope is that Beatty finds it. Vientos finds it. You know, just like Alvarez found it last year. And then that doesn't look as bad, right? I mean, Bader is not an offensive player.
So, if he's healthy, he's okay.
If he's healthy, he's okay, but he's a defender. That's what he's known for. That's why he keeps getting contracts. You know, despite the 5 home runs he hit in the playoffs for the Yankees a couple of years ago, he's still a guy that's known for his glove more than his bat. But they're going to let Beatty play. They're going to let Vientos play to see if these guys are good enough. And if they are, and they certainly had a lot of expectations around them, it could break positive. And you're right, it could break negative. Those guys do not have a lot on the back of their baseball card, but they're hoping that they'll pop the way Alvarez popped last year. And if that's the case, then it may not be a long season. It might be a fun season that really gives you a glimpse of the future and then get you excited during next offseason when they'll be able to really spackle big money around what they hope are some of the good young players that have come together. So it's all about how you want to look at it. They want to look at it positively. You want to look at it negatively. We'll see how it ends up at the end of the day.
All right, but let me a little sodium pentothal into your veins.
Oh, right into the veins.
Are the Mets making the playoffs or not?
No, I would probably say no, but I will be, based on what he said yesterday or the day before when we played it yesterday. I would be disappointed if this team was out of it at the All-Star break. I mean, I expect a team that's going to be around 500 and then competing for a wild card spot. Last year, 84 got the wild card spot. Now, maybe it'll be 90 this year. I don't know. But I'd be disappointed if this team finishes under 500 and they're completely out of it in August. That's not – he didn't say that. That's not the expectation that he laid out. So the expectation for me is fun, young team that is going to be on September 1st within 5 games of a playoff spot. And if they're less than that, then he laid out expectations that he didn't live up to. I mean, he's got to be held to his word, Michael. And he said competitive. And he said competing outside of the top three. Then that means that this is a team that should finish above 500 and in contention in September. We'll see.
A lot of people have to play above their baseball card. A lot of people.
But that's the case for all teams, right?
I mean, some teams could be. I mean, the Dodgers would be good if everybody plays to their baseball card. You're asking people to play above their baseball card.
Well, no. But in some of the guys, we're asking them to play above their baseball card because they're just putting together a career.
Beatty's right.
Just putting together a career. Vientos is just putting together a career. I mean, if you want to skew negative about the Yankees, what's the health of DJ LeMahieu? He's definitely trending in the wrong direction. There's health questions around Judge. You know, is Rizzo going to be able to bounce back? He's what? 37 years old. There's a lot of age on the Yankees that you could say that they're on the downside. A lot of things can break against them. It's just like any other team. But when you've got a young team and you're playing a lot of young players, yes, it could bottom out. But you say play to the back of the baseball card. Some of these guys are trying to develop a back of a baseball card. And why can't they maybe find themselves?
And Rizzo's 34. Caller said yesterday 37.
Okay,
he's 34.
That was stuck in my head. But still, 34 is not, you know, an age where you start to get better. But the overall point is that anybody can pick apart a baseball team and say, well, if this happens, if that happens, that's the fun of the game. There's 162. But when you're putting a lot of faith in kids and a lot of unknowns, yeah, it could go bad, but it also could be fun.
Well, VP on Twitter goes, yo, Yankee boy, Mendoza came out and said McNeil isn't hitting fourth. First spring training game of the year, he wants as many at-bats as possible. Anthony DeComo said this could be your opening day lineup. And if you want to get him as many at-bats as possible, why not bat him leadoff, VP? Yeah. Why are you batting him fourth?
Well, I mean, no need to go Yankee boy. I mean, but,
no, because that's their fallback.
But McNeil is a guy. He's won a batting title. He had
9 home runs last year.
No, and I understand batting fourth. That doesn't make a lot of sense. But that doesn't mean that's going to be the way it's going to look all year long. But, I mean, is it possible? Nimmo should be good. McNeil won a batting title recently. I mean, he can get back to that. There's a lot of – Marte's another guy, Michael. He was hurt all last year. A lot of things have to break their way, but that's not impossible. It's not impossible that some things can actually break the Mets' way for once. God, would it kill the baseball gods to have that break once in a while?
That would be nice. It'd be nice for both teams to have all the questions answered in the affirmative. Butch in Pennsylvania. Butch.
Big Butch.
Hi, Michael, Don, and Peter.
Hello.
Hey, Butch.
Love the show. I watch pretty much every day. I just wanted to make a quick comment on Michael's Pusick. Mm. I noticed he's hiding behind the microphone a lot more lately.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to cover it up.
No, Butch, that's how I broadcast a microphone.
Wow, but look, you can't even see it. Right when he said it, you can't see it at all.
Is it that crazy? Is it that much of a thought to put the microphone in front of your face? We got to hear him.
I'll move it, Butch, because you want the thrill of seeing me. I'll move away.
Take a look at that thing.
I'm just picking on you, Mike.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Ugh.
Geez. How's it look?
Disgusting. Ugh.
I think he's making it work.
It's pretty funny, though.
You know what, Butch? You know what? When you lose a bet, you have to suffer, whether it's money or whether it's in the indignity of wearing something so hideous. And it's the indignity of wearing something so hideous.
I would not describe it as hideous,
Peter. If I grew this on purpose, like Anthony, would you say to me, Mike, what are you doing
with the color?
Yeah,
too?
Yeah. What are you doing, Mike?
Yes, I would.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we said that to Anthony. What are you doing?
Yes, it's not good.
Never took me aside.
Well, I care more than Michael did for you. That's the thing.
I did take Don aside.
No, you didn't.
I did take him aside.
You did? What'd you say?
I said, why do you have that long hair in the back?
Oh, but can you keep going back to that? That was way after, Peter. That was way after the fact. During Repug Don.
But you know what, Don? It shows that you don't listen to me.
That is fair, too, though. He did. I recall him saying, you know, Don, it's really
but
a
I was
bad
pulling, I was pulling an Anthony where I didn't care. I knew what was going on. It was during the pandemic.
Well, I thought that's how you felt about Repug Don, too.
No.
You liked it.
I was trying to make it work, and it was I had no guidance. There was no coaching. It was ridiculous.
Coach me up.
Yeah, and you know what? And if I had friends then, everything that's happening now could have happened 10 years ago.
But you know what's bizarre?
If Peter was on the show 20 years ago,
I would have helped
things
you then.
Would have been completely different.
And you know what the thing is, Michael? Now, I agree with you, Don, but now I got to argue against Don. You know what the funniest thing is, Michael, about Don?
Tell me.
Growing the hair during COVID?
Tell me.
The reason people were growing out their facial hair and their hair during COVID.
Because they weren't
working or seeing anyone.
Right, he was on TV.
We were
every
on
day.
TV. We may have been, it was probably the most visible we've ever been.
Right.
But I didn't care.
We were with people every day.
I you didn't care. Did you think you were going to die?
No, but I was having fun with it. I knew what it looked like and I didn't care. I was just.
Well, then how would I know that you would care about being repugnant?
No, because I was having fun. I hadn't had long hair since I was a kid. Clearly, this was not some sort of a fashion statement I was making. I knew what was going on.
Well,
I thought I was making it work. I wasn't, and the people around me
show us
the
picture. Yes, show us heaviest Don.
Put an arm around me and said, "Don, if for nothing else, your health. All right, how about that? We want to keep you around for a while.
I don't think that's my
place. You know what? The decisions you're making are ridiculous.
It's not my place.
Do something,
Peter,
but you know what?
My place.
No, it was your place, and I'll tell you what, though, it really shows that Nancy is in this for life. She stuck that out. That's an unbelievable run.
Well, she doesn't even look at him.
Well, that's the other angle. She doesn't even know.
This was before then. We were still, you know. Married early enough that there was still
right. It could have been
attraction.
Right. So
right
you think
now,
she would have cared.
With the two kids, killed the whole thing.
Sure, I got you.
Peter?
From upstarts to buzzer beaters.
Blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. Try it again. Take two.
Three, two, one.
From upsets to buzzer beaters, nothing compares to college basketball in March. FAU last year. Oh, St. Peter's 2 years ago. Come on. Underdogs, the best. This year, you know what I'm all about. those University of Vermont Catamounts. Remember Tyler Coppenrath? Speaking of gingers, do you remember Coppenrath on Vermont years ago?
I remember the name, but I don't.
Oh,
I can't
he was a
remember
beast, the big 6'11 ginger for Vermont.
Doesn't like gingers.
Apparently not. That's what you said earlier. I don't believe it to be true, but I'm excited to try to bet Vermont to knock off Duke in the first round, and you can go have fun at FanDuel Sportsbook. Get a no-sweat bet on a college basketball parlay, all right? Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app if you don't have it already at FanDuel.com/Peter. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, 21 or over, and physically present in New York. Refund issues, non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com for help with a gambling problem. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. The point's gone.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass. They have the star. He is a legitimate superstar. You may need another one. But you guys are going to tell me that with the season he's having, this guy's not just a superstar? He is a superstar. This is what you wanted. This is what you, and you ended up getting. Now, Michael will argue, and with good reason, you could really use one more. But if they get Randall back, and we don't know what's happening there, now you have the flare-ups with Anunoby. But if they have just those three guys, we think they'll compete to win the East.
It's unbelievable how you politic and then you end up winning the next day. It's sickening.
Wait, what? I didn't politic yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know. A caller got the...
I don't think yesterday I said anything, did I?
Yeah.
Did I say anything yesterday?
Joe Torre got it yesterday and you said, oh, that's not a big deal.
Don made the kiss-up jokes.
I was more disgusted.
Thank you, Don. It was deserved and I'm proud of it.
I thought it was fabulous. I'm happy for you.
Because you know why? You respect me and you appreciate me.
So, Anthony.
Hi, Don.
Show me some.
Okay.
Split the ice apart and break the frozen.
Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks.
Now, this is by request because there's 13 games. There's not a lot of value out there. But the one thing I found that I like that is decent value is Oilers Canadiens over under 6.5 goals at minus 105. So go with the over in Edmonton. That's my ice pick.
So that's not value, though?
Well, 105. It's minus 105. I mean, it's basically even money. I was trying to find something nice. Like, I thought the Devils, because the Devils own the Penguins, and New Jersey's limping into their game against the Penguins. But I see in some places minus 115, other places minus 110. That's not great value. Even minus 105 is not great, but it's at least close to even money. So I wanted to give the guy a pick.
Love it. And you did.
Yes.
Let's go to our good buddy Brendan O'Callaghan. We always check in with him. Brendan, what's going on?
Hi, how you doing, guys? How
good.
You been?
Good, how are you?
Good. I just had a quick Yankee question for you guys. So I know DJ LeMahieu is having some health issues. It's unfortunate. If he ends up going on the IL, I know that they don't have much options besides Oswaldo Cabrera, who's a great player and all. But would it be possible for the Yankees to pivot to a guy who had won 3 gold gloves, just played in a World Series a couple months ago, Evan Longoria? I read he actually said he would want to play one more season for the right opportunity, and it would be really cool for Evan Longoria to end an awesome career by having one more crack as a New York Yankee.
Yeah,
what do you think about that?
I don't think they'd be. I mean, Longoria is not the hitter. He's not the player that he once was. And and you're making out to be, you know, a bruised foot, Brendan, to be a season-ending injury for LeMahieu. They're just being awfully careful. So
they're very careful.
Oswaldo Cabrera is your third.
Though, isn't he?
He did see a and they did all the x-rays and the CAT scans and the MRIs, and there's no break. It's just a bruise, and they don't want him to play through the bruise because, you know, he ruined his whole stance when the toe was bothering, and he's just compensated. So they want every inflammation to be out of there. There's a chance to play on opening day. And, Don, if not, it'll be Oswaldo Cabrera.
And I said who. I didn't realize what that it was that, Brendan, so it was cool to hear from him again. I think Longoria's done, Michael. I know he played in the World Series last year. I saw him down the stretch with the Giants. He was constantly hurt. I mean, it would be a great story for him to end up on a team that's got a chance at a championship. But, Michael, that's no kind of investment, a guy that you're not even sure is going to be able to get through the season.
Right, and also anybody they sign, if they, I mean, the spots that are open on the Yankees right now are the backup players. And they want somebody that could play all positions. You bring in Longoria, he's strictly a third baseman. You're using up a roster spot for a guy who does not have any versatility.
No.
I mean, Oswaldo Cabrera didn't hit last year. I think it was like 215, something like that. But he plays everywhere, including does a decent job in the outfield. That's the kind of player they look for. Now, if you want to say, hey, Gio Urshela might not get the starting job with Detroit, that's somebody they could look at. But not Evan Longoria. Let's go to Tommy in Hoboken. Tommy.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, Tommy.
Oh, let me turn off speaker. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
That's all right. You sounded right.
Okay. I just wanted to ask Don about the Rangers. First of all, good luck with the call tonight.
Thank you.
And second of all, what do you think the issue was with Gerard Gallant, the beaver lip, who was developing last year in Kako?
I didn't catch what he called him. I
think he called him Beaver Lip, but I don't know what that means.
I don't know if I like that.
I'm not even going to touch that. Clearly, he didn't have faith in Kako and Lafreniere, and for whatever reason, Peter Laviolette's been able to get the most out of him. Now, Kako missed 33 games because of the leg injury, but he's got 10 goals. He's been hot as of late, and Lafreniere is going to have a career year. So I think Gallant was a nice coach, just in the wrong situation. And he didn't develop the young players the way that at Laviolette. I think Laviolette's just a better coach. He's got a better pedigree, a better history. That's why I think he was a great hire. And good job out of Chris Drury for taking the chance and admitting that he made a mistake with Gerard Gallant. And Lafreniere, Peter Laviolette's been a beast. He's been able to get the most out of everybody. There's a system. They're playing for their coach. They're playing for one another. And the fact that we're talking about a team that can actually win the President's Trophy, and I've never seen a year where there could be this many teams to win it. It's going to be a crazy end to the season, but he's been the perfect selection as coach of this team.
Peter, I have a question. Do you think that Drake is rooting for Drake?
It's a great, it's a thoughtful.
Can you find out? Because, I mean, you have connections in the industry.
Jake and I don't talk very much.
Well, but you must know people that know Drake.
So you just want me to say, hey.
Hey, Drake, are you rooting for Drake?
I need to know if you're rooting for Drake.
Because for me, it would be a yes, because I'm rooting for me. So Drake should be rooting for Drake.
But this isn't really rooting for it. Don, you see what I'm saying?
You see what Bruno Mars owes $50 million
to a
Vegas casino? What's he betting on? And how could he be that bad of a gambler?
And don't you think they stop after like 10 and go, let's have a conversation?
No, they don't stop. You know why? Because they pay him like $70 million a year for a residency, so they're going to get him for $20 million.
But do they? He hasn't done that, has he?
Well, he's got to pay his money back.
But they haven't done that yet is what I'm saying.
But that's
what you're thinking they'll do.
The way it ends, yeah.
I guess they just let him keep rolling. They know he's good for it at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe because we didn't come from money, Michael. But my God, even if I had that much, it would just kill me to lose like that.
Now, how bad a gambler can you be?
Apparently bad.
$50 million bucks.
I what's the most you've ever bet on anything?
Oh my God, that's a good question. Peter had two great questions back-to-back days, one on the air, one off the air.
What was the one off there?
The one of the most famous person that you saw in the wild, meaning like out in public. Not
I saw Seinfeld in the wild over the weekend.
Yeah. That's what we mean by that. And it's a great question. And I still haven't come up with an answer on that one yet.
Well, me, Cindy Crawford on the plane. She was out in the wild. I would think... I think $100.
Yeah, $100. I know it sounds embarrassing, but I think it was $100.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm not a gambler.
Yeah, maybe $200 for me. I don't get it. I cannot do it.
And you know what?
MGM
denied the report
is
about
that true?
Bruno Mars.
Interesting.
Well, that's good. Good for Bruno.
You're happy to know this.
Yeah, I don't want people to be in that kind of debt. Because if you're in debt, you're in pain. And Don, if you're in pain, do you do?
You're so good at what you do.
Oh, Lord.
You weren't ready, were you?
Not at all.
Oh, how long you need, you think?
You know what? It's a great question.
You want me to fill some? Do you want me to fill here?
No, I think I have the ability to do it, guys, because we've been talking about Dr. Jay Shah now for quite some time. You know, he's a double board certified pain specialist. So if you're in pain, his phone, you got to go see Dr. Jay Shah because he'll get the job done. Friends, go see Dr. Jay Shah. He's a double board certified pain specialist. I'm emotional. Don't let neck, back, joint, or even nerve pain slow you down from doing all the things that you love. It is time to get your life back to doing all of those things because of your active lifestyle. Call our friend Dr. Jay Shah today at Samwell Pain. Dr. Jay Shah treats joint, neck, back, sciatica, nerve pain. Dr. Shah is also a migraine and headache specialist. Procedures involve no cuts, scars, incisions, or downtime. Call Dr. Jay Shah to take a non-surgical approach with precise image-guided procedures without pain medications. Enjoy life pain-free. Same day and next day appointments available. Go to samwellpain.com. Put an end to your pain and suffering today. Why wait any longer? Make your appointment with Dr. Jay Shah. Go to samwellpain.com. Now, regain your active lifestyle. Enjoy all of your favorite activities pain-free. Samwell Pain has 3 convenient locations in Woodbridge, Livingston, and a brand new office in Englewood to serve Bergen County. Visit samwellpain.com today. You will wish you met Dr. Shah sooner. Most major insurance are accepted.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.